Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now in the studio is Fatih Akin, a documentary and narrative filmmaker whose films include Head On, Crossing the Bridge, The Edge of Heaven, Polluting Paradise, The Cut, and his new feature film, In the Fade, which stars Diane Kruger, and it premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival, and it'll be released in Los Angeles and New York today, December the 27th. Welcome to Background Briefing, Fatih Akin.
Thank you very much.
And the film is, it's a pretty amazing piece of work. I have to congratulate you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was very affected by it. In fact, it's going to be difficult talking to you about the film because I don't want to give anything away. I mean, the ending is just devastating. So we'll try and navigate our discussion without giving too much away.
Let's try that.
So let's begin with the broader political context. We're just learning now that German lawmakers, I guess because of the success of Alternative for Deutschland, the right-wing party, which I think is now, is it not the second biggest or third
the
biggest?
Third biggest political bloc in
the Bundestag. Lawmakers now in Germany are talking about maybe repatriating Syrian refugees as the war winds down. Many would be sent back, I think, against their will, because many fled because of what Assad was doing to the country and to the Sunni majority. So something's changing in Germany. Everybody was impressed, I think, at least progressives were, at how Angela Merkel handled this situation compared, say, to Hungary, where the sort of neo-fascist government there behaved very badly. So as a German citizen of Turkish descent, right, how do you see the current political climate vis-a-vis immigration?
Right now, we don't have a government, you know.
That's true. Well, presumably the socialists will come back into the fold, won't they?
Yeah, they talk about coalition programs, you know. Yeah. I think finally it will not be re-elections. I think finally it will turn out that the grand coalition between Social Democrats and the CDU, the Christian Democrats, they will work together again for the next 4 years. And as with somebody with a background, with a Turkish heritage, there is a certain crisis right now in Germany. And I think this crisis, somehow it reminds you to the crisis of the Weimar Republic, mm-hmm. you know, in the 20s. But that was an economical crisis. And this crisis opened the door for the NSDAP, Hitler's party, to lead to the Third Reich. And what we have today is, on the one hand, a very successful coalition in the last 4 years in terms of economic. Germany is a very economical
success.
There is not really a poverty, there is not really a poorness there. You know, you have education for free and you have medical insurance. If you are out of employment, state carries for you. The out of employment rate is less than 5%.
Right.
You know,
but and still, you get what, a month holiday? What is the national holidays in Germany?
Yeah, I think it's around a month.
Right.
It's around a month. But still, we have a crisis, you know, although the economics works kind of perfectly.
Right. So it's a political crisis.
We call it the refugee crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we name it, you know, and it is the result of the war. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a global matter. You know,
right.
It's the war in Syria, I mean.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, not just right-wing fascist people, but people in the middle somehow, they start to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their fear somehow is rising because the fear of losing their, I don't know, cultural identity or something mm-hmm. like that. Or
Religious identity. Sure.
The fear of arising of, I don't know, criminal activities on the street, you know.
Right.
Where the media is fault for, you know, because there is not this thing like that. And the expression of that fear is leading into the rise of this Alternative for Deutschland party, which is, in my eyes, a semi-fascistic group.
And that's the polite face of the people in your film who commit the crime. In other words, there's a kind of neo-Nazis. They're real neo-Nazis, right? So the AFD would be, how would you compare them to the people in your film that are the ones that are behind the crime?
There is a certain ideologic connection,
right,
between the polite fascism of the AFD, you know, the extreme conservative of the AFD, and the ideologies of the neo-Nazi in the film, who are, I don't know, somehow socialized by the Third Reich. There is a connection, you know.
Right. Well, there's also, in this country, there's a connection between the Republican Party as a whole and the alt-right faction of the Republican Party, represented by Stephen Bannon,
yeah,
who is a powerful voice.
Yeah.
And as you know, I'm sure, when the horrible incidents took place in Charlottesville, Virginia,
yeah,
where fascists, American fascists, holding Nazi flags,
yeah,
and shouting blood and soil, and, you know, Hail Hitler and all this stuff, Trump said there were good people on both sides. And that shocked a lot of people. So we have a similar problem, not as acute as it is in Germany, because Merkel took in about 1 million refugees, did she not?
Yeah, and, you know, you have to know, we have different histories.
Of course.
You see, so the waves of Charlottesville and Trump's reaction on that that hit us hard in Germany, you know, because everything what has to do with Nazi Germany, with the Third Reich, is somehow very delicate in our society. It's part of our culture. Mm-hmm. You see, we have a culture in Germany of reflection. You know, we have 3 years in school. You know, we have the education for the Third Reich and how it happened. You know, we have a culture of guilt in Germany, which is, I think, a positive thing, you know. And the most countries don't have that, you know. And I always compare it with Turkey, where my parents are from. They don't have that. I mean, they did, like, Armenian genocide, you know, and
they still deny it to this day.
They still deny it until this day because they don't have this culture of guilt. And so I think it is here in the States. You don't have that, really, this culture of guilt. That's the difference, the main difference between that Trump is able to say something like that, you know.
Right. But you have, as you pointed out earlier, in Germany, you have free education. You have good education. Here, our education system is collapsing, and it's now being taken over by a right-wing evangelical woman, a billionaire, who wants to get rid of all the public schools and make everybody go to these Christian schools where they teach all kinds of stupid, ignorant stuff about they're against evolution, they're against environmentalism, all kinds of strange stuff. So my concern about America is not so much that we don't have the guilt, but we don't have the education anymore. We used to be the leader. California was the leader in the world in university education up to about the 1970s. And now it's collapsing. So I know it's a little off the subject matter, but I wanted to point out that difference. That
I think somehow it belongs to the subject because it's a complicated subject,
right?
You know, and complex, you know,
right.
and very difficult to find a solution for it or to find answers
right.
for it. But one thing is, and this is really concerning me, is Germany is a democratic system. So is the United States, you know. So were countries like Poland and Hungary and even Turkey, you know. And the Weimar Republic was also a democracy. And democracy is something which you really have to defend because it's so fragile, you know. And it's so fragile that it can be easily taken over by any fascist groups, you know.
We have examples.
You know.
In Poland, it's being rolled back by this extreme right-wing government.
Right.
You just had this massive demonstration in Poland on Constitution Day with young Poles calling Sieg Heil, marching in the streets, blood and soil, white Europe. This is a country where the Nazis killed so many more. All the worst atrocities took place. Seymen, Erdogan is rolling back all kinds of rights and shredding Turkish democracy.
Yes.
So is Orban in Hungary. So what you're telling us is very real, that autocracy is on the move. It's growing around the world. I think in many ways it's being emboldened by our president, Donald Trump, because he's an autocrat. He doesn't have any democratic values. He's abandoned human rights and all of the standards of American diplomatic history. And I think it's having a terrible effect. And think about all the autocrats in the world who are on the rise. Putin, Xi, Erdogan, Orban. This is what I fear. The bad guys are winning.
The bad guys are winning because we, the Democrats, or the supporter of the Democrat idea, you know, we made one mistake, you know. We thought, like, democracy is something for free. You know, it's something what comes automatically, I don't know, in our houses, but it's not. You know, it's something what really has to be defended. You know, and to quote another president, you know, it's like what Kennedy says, one, like, don't ask what the country does for you, ask what you can do for the country. This is a very important attitude, you know, and I think the only way to stop these movements, you know, is that everybody who believes in democracy has to really fight for it, you know, on no matter which level, you know. This is very, very, very important, because the other guys, you know, the so-called bad guys, they fight for, you know, get rid of the democracy.
We're going to take a brief station break. We're back continuing the conversation with the director of the new film, In the Fade, starring Diane Kruger, Fatih Akin. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And we're continuing the conversation in studio by Fatih Akin, who is a documentary and narrative filmmaker. His films include Head On, Crossing the Bridge, The Edge of Heaven, Polluting Paradise, The Cut, and his new feature film, In the Fade, stars Diane Kruger. It premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival, and it is released today in theaters in Los Angeles and New York. And in terms of this international coalition of bad guys and how much autocracy is on the move in the world and democracy is under threat and in retreat, your film does show that kind of internationalism of these far right-wing fascist groups, because the young German Nazis on trial are joined by these Greek Nazis from Golden Dawn.
Right.
So,
right.
And I must say, you cast those guys brilliantly.
The Greek Nazi in the film, he's a director, Yanis Economidis. He's a very left wing director from Athens, you know. Right. But he has this incredible face, you know. And right. So he, because he dealt a lot with Nazis and neo-Nazis in Greece, you know, so he knew exactly what he was acting.
Right. So it's interesting that they work together, this international coalition of far right wing groups. They help each other out.
Today it's not a big thing, you know, to create such a network because of social media,
right.
You know, because of Facebook and I don't know. So these people they're using it, you know. Right. So and then it's very easy and very effective to create these networks all over the world.
Right. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back continuing the conversation with the director of the new film, In the Fade, starring Diane Kruger, Fatih Akin. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And we're continuing the conversation in studio with Fatih Akin, who's a documentary and narrative filmmaker whose films include Head On, Crossing the Bridge, The Edge of Heaven, Polluting Paradise, The Cut, and his new feature film, In the Fade, which stars Diane Kruger. It premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival, and it is released today in Los Angeles and New York. So we should at least tell our audience some of the broad strokes, what the film is about. We start out this conversation talking about the broader political landscape in terms of anti-immigrant feelings growing inside Germany and around the world and in Europe in particular, and here in the United States, fueled in part by Donald Trump, who's taken a very anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim stance from the very beginning. We know that in Germany, it's a very tolerant society, and about a million refugees were let in when other countries treated them very poorly, particularly Hungary, for example. It has not been without problems. You had the Christmas bombing, and then it doesn't take much. A couple of terrorist incidents really turns back the clock and increases the anxiety. And as you were saying, the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, now is the third biggest party in many ways as a response to anxiety about Europe being invaded by foreigners and Christian values being under assault by Muslim immigrants. So let's talk a little bit about the plot. A German woman is married to a Kurdish German. She starts out in jail wearing his best suit, and you learn that they're getting married. So it's a flashback in the opening. They're getting married, and then shortly thereafter you see the extraordinarily loving family that they are, husband and wife and young child. And shortly thereafter, there is a hideous terrorist attack, bombing. And then it's all about who did it. And then eventually we learn, even though the police basically try to say that because the Kurdish husband in his past had dealt drugs, that it was all about some drug deal that went bad.
Right.
And that's the focus of the police. And she, from the beginning, our protagonist, played by Diane Kruger, she knows from the beginning it's the Nazis. That's her first, and eventually they finally have to agree to that. So let's talk a little bit about the police attitude. Is that the sort of attitude amongst the police? You know, let's just solve this as quickly as possible. I mean, there are two things that I hadn't noticed before. I know nothing about the German judicial system, but boy, if that's accurate, what happened in that trial, then it's almost like political correctness has taken over the German judicial system. Is that how much does that reflect reality?
Well, this film is based on a lot of research, and it's also based on a real case. You know, we had the so-called NSU scandal, which still goes on. It's the NSU scandal is between 2000 and 2007. A group of neo-Nazis, young neo-Nazis, it was a trio, it was two men and one woman, they killed several people in Germany by shooting them. You know, they killed nine men with migration background and one German police officer, female. Mm-hmm. And
but they targeted immigrants from Turkey or Kurdistan, where were they from?
Yes, and one was Greek. You know, they're observing these targets. You know,
right.
Their favorite choice was like people who had like their own stores. You know, like an internet cafe or mm-hmm. I don't know, a pizza place or
falafel place.
Or these kind of establishment, and kind of like those who made it should be killed, right? And they also used bombs. You know, they dropped some bombs, nail bombs, like the one in the film. And it's a pure chance that nobody died with these bombs. You know, but with a shooting, 10 people were killed, and they were all killed with the same gun. And for 10 years, no, and 11 years, from 2000 till 2011, police investigation, media, like press, you know, and somehow the society thought these killings were done by the Turkish mafia or the Kurdish mafia. You know, just because the victims were had a background, there was no other reason.
Right. Just like people, in your film, then.
Yeah, but in my film, the guy, you know, he has a criminal background. Right. These people, in reality, they didn't even have a criminal background. Right. They were ordinary people, you know.
Right.
And for 10 years, the victims were blamed. You know, so the leftovers could not just suffer. You know, they were also the suspicious persons. You know, they, mm-hmm. you know, and after 11 years, by random, mm-hmm. it came out that the neo-Nazis did that and not the Turkish mafia and stuff. So before they get caught, the two male neo-Nazis killed themselves, or they say they killed themselves. We don't exactly know, mm-hmm. you know. She, the neo-Nazi girl, Beate Zschäpe, she's in trial. The trial goes on since 5 years.
Still going on.
Still going on since 5 years. And a lot of my film is based on that real case, you know, like how the investigations of the police was, you know, certain things in the trial. You know, the father of the neo-Nazi in the trial, you know, when he turns towards Diane's character and says whatever he says there without spoiling it, it's based on the protocols of the real case.
So literally the transcripts of the real case.
Yes, I used the transcripts. I read all the transcripts and I went to the trial in Munich several times. So I did my homework for that.
But by the way, that's a powerful scene where she, the father of one of the guilties, the Nazis on trial, does talk to her on the steps of the courthouse.
Yes.
But what he says at the end of it is that he knew.
Yes.
And that really does shake you up. You know, and shakes up the Diane character as well. Yeah. So that's amazing. So is that why at the end of the film you have a little bit of a, you have a graphic saying that
the
number of people were killed by neo-Nazis? And
it was a long discussion in the editing room if we should use it or not. One of the reasons we used it is that a lot of people don't know about the real case, and I think it's worth to Google it, you know, because the real case, it's so much more complex than what I have in my film. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so so wider, you know. It wouldn't fit into a 100-minute film. You could do a TV show out of it, you know, a serial, you know. And on the other hand, the real trial is not over yet. You know,
amazing. It's still going on.
It still goes on in this moment, and I think somehow next year, you know, maybe in the springtime, we will know if Beate Zschäpe will get free or not. You know, and even if they put her, if they give her like a life sentence penalty, you know, it's they will try to. It's kind of like she's the only guilty one, but she isn't. Mm-hmm. There was a network behind this group. You know, this is proof. This is not conspiracy. You know, there was the German secret service, the Verfassungsschutz. You know, they right after the three were caught, the Nazi trio, the secret service destroyed dozens of files.
Mm.
Because they had like their informers in the neo-Nazis. Informers in the neo-Nazis are real neo-Nazis, but for money they give like some harmless information to the secret service. And I believe that these three, at least the two men, had a contract with the secret service that they were informers and that was too embarrassing for the Secret Service. This is my personal theory.
Right.
You know?
But we shouldn't give the audience that will see the film that opens today in the Fade, opening in New York and in Los Angeles, starring Diane Kruger, that you, Fatih Akin, directed. Because the film is really mostly about how the victim suffers. You know, the survivor, the widow. It's about the journey that she takes trying to navigate the justice system and that turns against her, that the injustice of everything that happened, losing her husband and child, and then I won't give any more away, But that's what the heart of the film is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about how she's punished again and again.
You know, when these things happen, you know, like, I don't know, bomb attacks done by any group, doesn't necessarily has to be done by neo-Nazis, you know, can done by Muslim terrorists, you know a lot about who did it, you know, and Abu Jamal or whoever the name is, you know, did it, and he was in school in London, and his father is a successful medicine. I don't know. You know, we learn a lot about these things, you know, the guy in Vegas, you know. What we don't know, you know, are the victims. The victims are numbers, you know, 47 died or 128 died. And we know less about the leftovers, you know, those who have to live with that. You know, how do they live with that? Their life changed forever, fundamentally, you know. It's you know, and we hear not too much about these people in the press or in narratives, you know. And I was focusing and I was interested in, you know, like how would such a person go on living? I mean, what is a mother if you take a child away from the mother? What stays there, you know? And that was what was interesting me in writing this.
Right. Well, but that's what the way that you convey that through her looking at home movies of her husband and child. I mean, it's very powerful stuff that all she's got are memories.
Yeah, and you know, we live in this days of smartphones, you know, so we can really catch every little moment with our smartphones today.
Right.
You know, so so it's kind of like easy for the audience to identify themselves with the characters through those scenes shot with an iPhone.
Right. Well, there's a certain amount of buzz about Diane Kruger getting an award, but of course, the film is up for best foreign film, right? It's Germany's entry into the Academy Awards, is it not?
Yeah, but the 27th of December, we'll know if it's on the shortlist or not, you know?
Right.
So we don't know. So
you don't know, of course.
Should we talk about, like, the film is on the shortlist?
Well, that opens today. We know that.
Okay.
Bennett, to qualify for the Academy Awards. But if it were to be nominated, it would be in the foreign film category. Not, she wouldn't be up for a best actress, even though in many ways she should be. Or could
no,
she
still,
be?
She
could.
Yeah, she could.
She could be up she for could. Best actress.
Yeah, yeah. This year there are a lot of female competitors this year. This year is an extraordinary year, you know.
Of course,
you know, it's
right.
The
but
rise
this is
of
a really amazing performance from her.
She's a great actress.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
a great actress. And yeah. she always was. And she also proved it. I saw that before. In, I don't know, independent films she did in France or here, you know, who hadn't had reached such a wide audience.
Right.
But I always knew, like, how good she really is, you know.
Right.
So I had the opportunity to give her that space and this stage, and she perfectly used it.
Right. Well, I congratulate you for the film. I think it's a great piece of work.
Thank you very much.
And I thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
And I've been speaking in the studio with Fatih Akin, who is a documentary and narrative filmmaker whose films include Head On, Crossing the Bridge, The Edge of Heaven, Polluting Paradise, The Cut, and his new feature film, In the Fade, which stars Diane Kruger. It premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival, and it was released today in Los Angeles and New York. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.